get over the psychological barrier that they've been holding on to, playing the numbers game and chasing opportunities and being rejected as a normal part of their life. I told my clients, rejection is not normal. It's like abuse is not normal. Yeah. You have to recognize you're in a pattern that you can't break because you're so used to it as a normal way of the game.
My name is Paul Harvey, and this is Life, Passion, and Business. We're about helping you explore, finding your passion for life and the work that you do. But it's so much more than that. It's about finding clues to the big life questions. What does it mean to be successful? What is the meaning of life? If you're looking for more, then join me on this journey, where together we will discover through interviews, tools, and tips how to live life full of meaning, passion, and purpose. I was delighted when Ari Galper approached me to come onto the podcast. Now, he's very familiar to me because he's the world's number one authority on trust-based selling. And I've known him for about 20 years, and his name is synonymous with direct marketing and information marketing. It has been since 2005. Now, for those who don't remember, that was back in the days of dial-up teleseminars. And I recall Ari was often a guest and sometimes leading those conversations. So it was a particular pleasure to me to invite him onto the show. Ari's life has always been about communication and building trust. And it's a theme that has played out throughout his journey. His childhood family life was a little troubled, so from an early age he learned techniques to get what he wanted whilst not antagonising or causing distress to others. After college, Ari went into the direct sales industry at the bottom, door-to-door knocking and selling vouchers for car servicing. From there he graduated into the selling advertising on the Yellow Pages and created what he called the pizza sales technique. I have to say it was a little manipulative. It is interesting how often Yellow Pages pops up on my podcast, and I think it's often overlooked how big and important a starting point it was for so many people, cutting their teeth and developing sales skills in the 80s and 90s. Ari's big break came when he moved into online sales. It was the new industry with the internet and website technology that dramatically changed the face of sales for many. Ari's running a sales team for a company that created the technology that we now see in Google Analytics. It was one of the first systems that can track and monitor users in real time. Finding the dream client is always the big goal, and Ari thought he had this nailed when he secured a sales call with a company that could potentially double the size of his own business, his own company. The conference call was set, and all the key people in the room at the other end of the line. The call could not have gone better. He was building rapport. They were saying all of the right words that would secure the biggest deal for his company. But as you'll discover in listening to our conversation, it is what happened next that shocked Ari to his core. Consequently, the sale didn't happen, and the deceit that was unveiled affected Ari so much that he quit the very next day. That experience enabled Ari to recognize that the sales techniques he was using were broken and had to be improved. The phone call was the catalyst that led him to start his own revolution in the world of sales communication based on trust and authenticity. It is so interesting that how many times this has cropped up in recent podcast conversations, and that so many people in the sales and marketing industry, including myself, are coming to the same conclusion from their own experience. Within weeks, Ari had developed a program teaching salespeople to communicate effectively. His unique process is called Unlock the Game, and since its early conception has evolved into the foundation of his current career. In our conversation, you will hear about the tools everyone in business and life needs to know. These are tools that lead to building trust between people and organizations. Whilst Ari developed his techniques for business and the sales industry, they've also been used to save marriages and resolve difficult communication issues with teenagers. This discussion is a must for anyone who's looking to understand the secrets of communication, building trusting relationships that lead to genuine sales. But it's much more than that. It's about leading an authentic life. I hope you enjoyed the conversation as much as I did with Ari Galper. So Ari, it's fantastic to have you here. I am with Ari Galper today. So thank you for being on the program today.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So what is fascinating for me is that your name has been around my life for probably about 10 plus years, because in my early days in marketing, before webinars, I think it was even on teleseminars, these things,
yes.
Your name would crop up with the likes of Perry Marshall and people that appear, the marketing people that I was involved in following. So it's really fascinating for me to be talking to you today, like, you know, 10, dare we say this, 10, 15 years later?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, both dating ourselves, aren't we? There we go.
Yeah.
So look, this is life, passion and business. And clearly you're not doing what you were doing when I first heard of you. And I know you are into trust-based selling. And so we're going to unpick the story. I think that's the way we go. This is how we do this thing. So I know you're in Australia. So how did you get on the world stage of marketing in that respect?
And yeah, so
where did it start?
I'm originally from California. You probably got the accent. But been in Sydney for 20 years now. Mm-hmm. And my wife on a dating site 20 years ago. She was from Sydney, living in Los Angeles. We met. It was pre-swiping, just kind of a DOS system where you saw a photo on a profile and you emailed each other. And then we started dating there and then came out to Sydney, got engaged and married here. And then moved back to Los Angeles. We're going to start our life there. But we had a gift into our lives. That's our son, Toby. Mm-hmm. And he has Down syndrome. And we realized what a gift that we had in our hands. I wrote a book about him, actually, called Lessons from Toby, because he's such a gift to us. And we had more family over here on her side. We just had to pack up our bags, move over here, and really launch the Unlock the Game business from here, pretty much.
Mm. So look, I mean, sorry to wind you back a bit further than that, because that's the kind of potted story. Where did it all begin for you? What did you set out to be and do when you kind of first stepped foot out into the world? Was there a childhood dream of something? You know, were you be an astronaut?
I think it was always a natural of just connecting with people. And I think at a uni, I went to sales and... Yeah. You know, I, interesting enough, my first job was doing sales, selling, car maintenance certificates, where they punched a hole in this little coupon book, basically, that you can buy. I'd go door to door and, we did really well. And then I got a job selling, believe it or not, back then, mini Yellow Pages. They were like a little mini book that went in your glove compartment. This is pre-internet. So you pull over, you look for a pizza place.
Wind us back in a minute, because this is good. So you're doing tap, tap, tap. Can I sell you some tickets to
get
your car service?
That's what I did, door to door. Yeah.
Yeah. Doing so this is the foot in the door thing.
That's right. That's right.
And then you sold mini Yellow Pages for your car.
Yeah.
You sold it. Actually, people could pay for this thing.
Well, actually, I sold advertising to go inside the Yellow Pages from door to door.
Yeah.
In the shopping malls. It was all a new concept back then. It was funny because I invented something called the pizza close. And what that meant was I went to the normal Yellow Pages the night before. I looked at their actual ad and I made up a small, medium, and large in R sizing on a piece of paper. And I brought it into the store and I'd say, we're opening a new book in the area and we have three options. And I pulled out their actual ad shrunken down to our size. And I'd say, we have a small, a medium, and a large. Which one would you try out? And they choose a medium every time. And I won all the awards for the highest sales because of that little idea there.
So you really didn't give them an option. Basically, you said, you're going to have one of these. Which one do you want?
Small, medium, large is all we make over here.
Oh, dear me. That's kind of pressure sell on a level somewhere. But hey, it worked. So you did all right with that one. So where did the joy and passion for selling come from?
I don't know. I think I just always enjoyed connecting with people and helping people. And I was outgoing and I just felt like I couldn't be in the office behind a desk. And I was kind of fearless back then, mm-hmm. you know, and that's where I got sort of my experience. And then, of course, I went to the seminars. I saw the gurus speaking at their seminars. I bought the books and I read the books. I had the CDs in my car.
That was the days when... Come on, drop some names. Which gurus did you sell?
Ryan Tracy. Ryan Tracy, yeah. That was a time when you had in your car was universities, right? You listened to the long drive, the seminars. And so got my feet wet there. And then I actually ended up joining a company that sold online website tracking tools to track website behavior of visitors. Now it's called Google Analytics. You probably heard of that. It's an online.
You joined the same company that was Google Analytics.
So we actually had the first product that was in the space and eventually got bought out by them. But I was there early days.
Was that called Urchin or something?
Yeah, right before that. It was Website Story, actually, was the original name of where we started there. And I was managing at the time 18 salespeople at the time. And I got the leads came across my desk that were the big opportunities. And the story goes is one lead came across my desk. You recognize the name, big company. And if I close this one sale, it'll double of the revenue in one sale of the whole company. That's how big it was. And my contact was a really nice guy. He agreed to a conference call and a demo of our product. And the day finally came at Friday afternoon. Never forget at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I went in the office conference room with my director. We closed door behind me. It was a big, long conference table. In the middle of the table is a speakerphone. You know the ones with the three legs on it, the corporate ones
at the time?
So I dialed the number that he gave me for the conference call. And I dialed in. He says, hello. I said, hello. And he says to me, Ari, let us tell you who's with us in the room today. I didn't know anybody else would be there. Next thing I hear is, my name is John. I'm CEO. I was like, wow, this is good. My name is Julia. I'm head of IT. This is great. My name is Mark. I'm head of global marketing. This is amazing. I mean, everybody on this call was basically a decision maker,
wow,
right?
Wow.
Like, this is the call you dream of having, right?
Yeah.
That's how big it was. So then I gave them a live demo over the internet to show them a demonstration of what we can do for them using one of the websites as an example. And started showing them all the live information flowing through the website and the view from the dashboard they could see.
Yeah.
And then I started this noise on the phone call, like, wow, this is great. This is amazing. They start asking me all kinds of questions. How do it work? How do we install it? What's technology? And of course, I had all the answers. I was competent at the time. I responded well. There was so much chemistry on this phone call, Paul. It was like a love fest on the phone.
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. You really thought this was it. This was heaven.
Exactly. There was no friction, no resistance. I'm saying to myself, this is how sales should be. And I got the boss gave me a kind of high five over here. He's like the thumbs up, you know, and hour goes by and I'm doing all I was taught to do, build rapport, add projections. And I thought it was really actually an amazing call. And the call comes to an end and my contact says to me, Ari, this is great. We love it. Give us a call in a couple of weeks, follow up with us and we'll move this thing forward. I said to myself, oh, thank you, God. Next thing I know, I took my arm and I reached for this phone in the middle of the table. As I'm reaching for the table by complete accident, now it's divine intervention. My thumb hit the mute button instead of the off button. They were right next to each other. I hit the wrong button and a small click happened and they thought I hung up the phone.
Right.
That split second, a voice inside of me said, Ari, go to the dark side. Believe, fly in the wall. Go nowhere it's ever gone before. And so I actually listened for a couple of seconds. And what I heard was this. I heard, we're not going to go with him. Keep using him for more information and make sure we shop someplace else cheaper.
Wow.
Knife in heart twist. Paul, I was in a state of shock.
Wow.
I literally hit the off button.
You know, but the funny thing is, I have been on the other side of those conversations where the MD has said that to me. We ain't going to go with them. Take them for whatever information you get. And it happens. Wow. I know it happens.
It's amazing. Yeah, it definitely. And I was looking
and it feels so uncomfortable. You think to yourself, what kind of integrity is that?
I was in a state of shock.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? And I had a big epiphany at that moment. I realized that somewhere along the way, it has become socially acceptable not to tell the truth to people who sell, right? It's okay to say things like, sounds good. Send me information. We're definitely interested without having any intention at all of buying. Mm-hmm. And I said to myself, "What? I can't believe this is happening." Then I realized what's going on. I realized there's an invisible flow of pressure that flows underneath all the discussions you have with a client pre-sale. Now, you can't see it and they can't see it, but you can they can feel it. If you remove it from the process, then for the first time, you can build trust with people at hello at the beginning, and they'll feel comfortable telling you the truth. And that became my whole unlock the game mindset shift 20 years ago, the revolution around basically shifting the thinking away from the sale and instead focusing on deep, authentic trust only. And that kicked off all the body of work over the years and thousands of clients so far.
Mm. What happened in that conference after that? I mean, you're with your MD at the time. I mean, he must have been shocked as well, I guess.
We were so shocked. It took me a week to get over it. Then you know what I did?
Mm-hmm.
I quit.
Oh, okay.
I quit and I said to myself, this is so ethically wrong. Mm-hmm. It's dehumanizing. I'm not going to stand for this anymore. I'm going to come up with my own approach to selling. My own way of treating people with ethics and humans.
Hang on a minute. Quit is a big thing to do when you're, were you young and kind of free and single at the time?
I was single at the time. I was very good at what I did. I spoke well. I felt confident. I had some ideas for my own. I thought, you know what? Now is the time to do own thing.
It's interesting how that moment makes you leap off the bridge. It's quite interesting.
That's right. That moment was such... rocked my world so much that I said to myself, I'm not going to be subjected to this ever again. I'm not going to let anybody else who I work with be said that again. I'm going to help people, what I say, help them get to the truth with people, build trust with people rather than sell. Because ironically, when you do that, you make more sales. So it's a real contrarian approach. It's very opposite of typical sales thinking, because the whole notion of the process that we're talking about today is, how do you build vulnerability with people where they feel comfortable sharing with you the truth and not playing games with you and not making you chase them anymore? That's the whole shift.
Mm-hmm. What is interesting for me in this is that I kind of always think the universe delivers these things for us, because I always think the universe does things for us rather than to us. And what I think is interesting is that you were given that sense, that taste of nirvana, that taste of wonder being in that conversation with those people. And then the rug was pulled away out of it. And then I think the duality of those two pieces, because you'd not have appreciated what was possible unless that environment had happened.
Correct. Yeah. So that shocking moment woke me up to basically me sleepwalking and other people in the industry sleepwalking and accepting that behavior as normal. It's almost like being abused. You know, you're abused so long, your world becomes your world. And I broke out of that brainwashing. I said to myself, this is not how human beings should treat each other.
As I said to you, I've been on the other side of that conversation, because I was in the purchasing world for years. And I've been in meetings with MDs and things. Well, I don't like those people. We're not going to deal with them. But, you know, get information. And it's like you think to yourself, where's the integrity in all of this? You know, I never did quite what I was asked. Like, I made the right noises because I wasn't going to dig like that. I just beyond me to go on that level. But it is fascinating that people do this, as you say. And you're right, it is a very common problem.
I think people don't recognize what they're doing. They've been so kind of conditioned for years and years and years as selling behavior. It's gotten so dysfunctional that I just felt like it's my mission to help people break out of this, be successful without sacrificing their soul in the process as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting. So obviously you went out to do something else. You've cut yourself free. You're confident enough to know you're going to survive. Did it work out as you planned, or did you have to take some crappy jobs in between?
Always S curves, you know, throughout the journey all the time. Any entrepreneur will share that with you. But I did start I literally rented in a Westfield mall, a little conference room. And I had my first seminar with 10 people that I knew about my approach. And back then I called it reverse selling.
Okay.
Reverse selling. That was my idea, was to go the opposite direction. Then I had to change the name because it was used somewhere else to unlock the game. But essentially I started there. I had a first couple clients, and then I did a presentation and someone videotaped me. This is early days. And I said, what do I do with the videotape? Because I didn't know. And I had a little website back then. So, you sell the tape. I was like, really? You can say, yeah, people will buy your tape of your talk. I said, oh, wow. So I collected the tape, and then I made it like a manual of my ideas, and I called it the Mastery Program. Basically, it was a videotape and some manuals back then. And there are people actually out there who probably still remember those days when I had those packs in the mail. That was kind of my core material back then. And it's still the foundational material today. It's just more refined.
Well, it went to DVDs, didn't it? Because I know people actually did. I mean, you know. The people we know. I mean, Perry Marshall had his own packs of DVDs, as did Glenn Livingstone. And all sorts of people had their packs of CDs they would send out with their system.
Yeah, Glenn and I were the same coaching program in Perry's group, actually, back then. Glenn and I. We were one of the first ones in what is called his bobsled run.
Oh, yes, of course, the bobsled run. Yes, absolutely. I remember, I've met Glenn, but not not face to face, but
sure.
In the same way. Yeah.
Yeah. So those are my early days, and that's the internet started picking up. That's where I met Perry. Mm-hmm. Actually, and I was moving to Australia and I met him at a seminar out here. And then I remember I heard him speak and he said, I'm going to be at the cocktail hour tonight. Anybody have any questions for me? Come on over. So I had a new website, but I wasn't converting well. So I printed out my homepage. I printed on a piece of paper. I said, here's my homepage. What am I doing wrong? He circles that, turns and said, oh, okay. Went back to my room, had it fixed and it started working again. I said, oh, I have to join this guy's program. That's how we became friends over the years. And then I became his top student and in his books and we're pretty close to him now.
Fascinating story. It's wonderful to join the dots and connect the pieces of you guys.
Exactly. Yeah. A few of us are still going after all these years.
Indeed. I mean, he's into all those things now. I mean, I've just read his book, actually, Evolution 2.0, which was fascinating.
Yeah, for sure.
So the journey for you has always been about this connection thing, about this connection with people. And did it only manifest in terms of your working life, or is it in other areas as well?
Well, actually, you know, it's interesting because I think this all stems from me growing up. I grew up in a household where oftentimes I was suppressed in terms of what I wanted to say, my truth. I had to keep very quiet, very shy. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to get things out. And I couldn't do that with people who I was with. And I was shut down a lot. And I felt my voice couldn't come out. And when I did speak, I had to say it in words that were elegant enough not to disrupt the other person's personality or get them upset with me. So I had to literally create my own languaging, what I call trust-based languaging, words and phrases to use that gets your message across without triggering pressure back at you, rejection back at you. And that's what really, I think I'm almost healing myself with this job by helping other people get out of this problem, by helping them find their voice, get the truth, and build trust with people over time. That's kind of stems from that, I think.
Mm. So how did you learn this building trust of people? Because that's actually quite a skill, isn't it, in that respect? I mean, is it about personal vulnerability or is it something else?
It's actually a mindset shift. It's letting go of your own agenda, being present within yourself and not hearing people. Hearing's passive, but listening to people. Listening means 100% in their world. And unpacking their issues and being all about the other person. See, sometimes in selling or business, we're often, we do listen, but our mind goes to a next step. We're not really fully present. And that's what it all breaks down because the other person can feel that from you very far away when they can tell you're not with them. You're somewhere else psychologically. So we have a program that helps people stay centered, focused, building trust with people, which I think is a new skill now because we've lost it behind the screens and SMSs. We've lost the art of deep connection in the business and personal life. And that's kind of what we teach is how to build trust in the sales process. And actually, you know, interesting enough, someone actually called me recently, had my old CDs and said to me that I saved his marriage.
Wow.
And I said, really, what do you mean? He said, my wife and I were about to get divorced and I got your materials and I realized it was me. I wasn't listening. I wasn't being present. I was always going three steps ahead of her. I learned how to connect with her at a deep level through your language and your mindset. Now we reconnected. We saved our marriage and now we're together again. And if it wasn't for that, I don't know where I would have been right now.
Wow. That must be a nice feeling for you to know that your material
is
still working in that respect.
And it's nice to know that I can heal people in that way, not only professionally making money, but also personally, because so much of our lives, there's always tension and friction. And we've never been skilled or taught how to diffuse that friction. And I see selling very much like that. If you know, like the martial arts, like karate or taekwondo, mm-hmm. those are very linear martial arts. So if someone comes at you, you push back and attack. That's how selling is like right now. When someone comes at you, attack or defend. But I use a philosophy based on Aikido. If you know Aikido, it's a Japanese martial art. So if someone comes at you, you don't resist it. You deflect it or diffuse it.
And that's how you pull it with you, don't you? You take it with you.
Yeah. And I based my whole Unlock the Game system and model based on Aikido, where if you get resistance coming your way, you diffuse it and re-engage again to preserve the relationship over time.
So obviously this has been a long journey for you. You're still using the same material. What I do find fascinating in some respects is that you created this material before the internet.
Yes.
And in fact, the internet and I think social media has taken us further away from this process of connection. You know, it's supposed to connect us and bring us together. And yet I think it actually is isolating us all the more.
I agree. It's very tribal. and we're going to tribes, and there's more warring between the tribes, and no one's listening anymore, just yelling and speaking. And that's, I think, the harm of all that. But I think that we can bring it back through what I'm teaching, helping people realize you can listen, connect with people, and resolve things without trying to put your agenda first.
Mm. So how do we heal the world in that respect? How do we bring your material to a greater audience? How does that work?
Well, that's what I'm working on. I'm actually working on a new book. I'm working on a new book right now.
Okay.
With a publisher. Yeah. The book's going to be called The One Call Sale.
Oh, right. Okay. And this is the process of actually doing the whole thing in one go.
Yeah. I've invented a way over the last 5 years, refined a way to actually, assuming you have an appointment with someone, a scheduled call, how to basically onboard them on one conversation, no longer having multiple meetings, proposals, follow-up. If you think about it, the reason for long sales cycles are not enough trust was created from the beginning. If there was trust from the beginning, you wouldn't have to have that long sales cycle. So I realized
also, I guess it's about qualification, because people will try to sell to someone who's completely mismatched anyway.
Correct. No doubt about that. I mean, I'm assuming if you have someone who's qualified, I'll give you an example. Last week, I took on a private consulting client, a financial advisor, and he said to me, I'm having a tough week. I said, why is that? We lost 3 opportunities this week. I said, what do you mean? I said, what's your process? He said, well, we have a 3-step process. Step one is we have an initial discovery call. Step two is we kind of go through their finances. And step three, we discuss our options. I said, so what happened? I said, well, we lost them in between. And at the end, I said, well, first of all, why are you doing 3 calls? He says, what do you mean? He says, that's what the whole industry does. I said, that's wrong. It's the mistake. Why don't you do it on one call? He says, one call? How's that possible? I said, the reason why you're on 3 calls is because you haven't built enough trust on the first call. If you build trust on the first call, they're happy to give you a yes or no. If you do it in an elegant, soft way, where they don't have a bedside manner, it's almost like a doctor-patient relationship in our model. The person has a problem, they have a pain somewhere, and they want someone to solve it. They don't want to go through all the hoops of proposals and meetings and the emails and follow-up. They only want to find someone they can trust.
But also, you got to find someone that, first of all, is conscious of the pain, actually knows that the pain is a problem, and then, actual fact, what you actually want is someone that knows the commandment and wants to solve the problem. Too many people try and concentrate on, like, teaching people that there's a problem, or trying to solve the problem that no one's interested in solving.
Well, what I teach in the One Call Sale program is to help people do what you're saying there, which is basically unpacking the other person's issues, help them amplify it to understand the full breadth of it, then have monetized the reasons the losses but occurring. And then, of course, here's the definitive question you ask them. You say this, you say, is this a priority for you to solve once and for all? Yeah. Or you have to live with it for the long term. And I'm okay either way.
So look, what has been your big kind of crisis thing that pulled you through? Where? Because this is more about life than the business. And we're talking quite a lot about the business because I get geeked out about this sort of stuff. So I need to be careful. And this is life, passion, and business. This is how you bring the essence of yourself into it. So what's been the big things for you in life, really?
Well, one major thing is my son, Toby. Yeah. And I mentioned earlier he was born with Down syndrome.
That must have been quite a blow.
At first we were just so shocked by it. Then we realized we had a gift on our hands.
Right.
We realized we had an angel on our hands. If you know these kids are adults, you know they're very special. They have open hearts, they're transparent, they're truly at peace with people and know how to connect. And I realized I can learn from my own son.
Wow.
And that's what inspired me to this whole program. And I wrote a book about him called Lessons from Toby. How to be centered in your personal business life throughout the year. And each page has a lesson behind it from what I learned from him. And I took his view of the world and embedded that into my sales approach to help people communicate with his transparency. I think he's the role model. He's who we want to become and how we communicate and how we are with people. And that's been my inspiration up until this day.
Wow. Where's Toby now?
He's great. He's at home. He's 17 years old. He's just a great basketball player. He's in a special needs class. He's very mainstream. He's a beautiful boy. He's healthy. And he continues to inspire us even to today.
That's wonderful news. It's lovely. Yeah, so it's lovely that you were able to take that and also learn so much from it, because other people wouldn't possibly see it that way. But it's amazing.
Yes, I think the world needs that kind of, right now, there's so much tension out there and someone needs to diffuse it. And if we can learn how to communicate better with other people at all levels of the world, then we can make a difference out there and teach people skills to be able to listen and make a difference.
Mm. Yeah. So what has been your success journey? Because you know, when we start out in life, success has to be about acquisition, because obviously we've got to build our resources. But where does that sit with you nowadays?
Well, interesting, over my career, I've done all the models possible for someone in the information marketing business, from a group coaching programs to corporate consulting to membership programs to stay-at-home kits. You know, even Perry and I did a program together called Chatwise, where we had top people had to do live chat on their website using my methodology in the text languaging. So I really tried tons of different models over the years, coaching programs, and I end up now, I think I found my way, which is really consulting one-on-one with entrepreneurs and business owners. I also have a membership program as well. And along with this new book called The One Call Sale, we're launching a TV show, an internet TV show. Wow. We're going to do like a Dr. Phil, Dr. Ari, a little sales therapy with people to help people unpack all this for themselves on a production show to get the word out there. So we're hoping they get some lift off. But I think I've finally found my avenues. And, you know, I've been offline for the last 5 years. I haven't kind of been out of the pocket because I've been doing a lot of corporate work. And I decided to list since COVID came around. People were saying, Ari, where have you been? I've known you 20 years ago, 15 years ago. The world needs your message now more than ever. So I really just felt like I had to come back, and I finally got online, and I'm now doing a podcast tour and book launch. So hopefully after 20 years, I become an overnight success.
Well, podcast tour, I guess that's why you picked me. Thank you so much for being on the, getting me in your tour.
Sure.
So what is it that you see in the world? What is it you see as your contribution to the world? I mean, I know the answer for this one. It seems daft question asking, really, but it's part of the format, so I need to ask it. What do you see as your contribution?
I feel like I was put on this earth to help bring people together, to show them how to communicate and to listen and to set aside their own agenda, to be able to really connect with the person they're with and their personal and any part of their life they're in, and to do it in an elegant way using what I call our own trust-based languaging. So we invented our own languaging to use to make the bridge happen between you and someone else where there could be tension. Like, I'll give you an example. For instance, in a sales scenario, let's say you're having a first call with somebody. It's a great conversation. The call is going well. They're qualified. Call comes to an end. Usually we say something like, hey, how about we get together? How about we move forward? How about we move towards the end goal? But in our mindset, our approach, we don't do that. At the end of the call, what we say is this. We say, where do you think we should go from here?
Okay. Yeah. You've put it firmly in their court. But
that shifts the power.
Yeah.
They're usually in a state of shock.
Yeah.
Because no one's ever treated them that way before. And you know what starts happening? They start telling you the truth. They say things like, well, I've got one more question. Or what about, all of a sudden what comes out in the beginning is there a deep truth they had down here they were holding back because they didn't trust you yet.
Mm.
So I have a whole language set wrapped around scenarios around this to help people crack that ice and reconnect again.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you an interesting story. I spoke a few years back at a large event. And at the end of the event, some gentleman ran down the aisle towards the stage. And I was all done talking. And he kind of jumped on stage. And I was like, you know, a little startled. I said, can I help you, sir? He goes, yes. And I said, do you have your own business? He goes, no. I said, are you in sales? He goes, no. I go, why do you want to talk to me? He says, because I have a teenage son.
Okay.
Oh, really? Okay. And what's happening with him? Well, the problem is he got a new car and he comes home late past curfew every night. He comes in the front door. He has his ear pods on. He goes right past me. We can't connect. It's like two shifts in the night. And I'm trying to get him, you know, to adjust to our agreement. And I cannot connect with him. So I want to learn whatever you have to learn how to build trust my own teenage son.
Mm.
I said, wow. This is much bigger than business. This is about life. And so he got involved with us, worked with us for a while. And he came back to me and I said, what happened? He goes, here's what happened, Ari. My son came home one night, late past curfew. He comes to the front door. I took a deep breath, like you told me. I got centered in your mindset. I lowered my voice and I said this to him. I said, son, would you be open to the idea of us working together to solve this problem of you coming home late every night so we can get you back into what we agreed upon doing? Would you be open to that? He says this to his son. You know what his son says back to him? He says, are you on drugs, dad? What are you drinking? What is wrong with you? He's not used to being communicated to with such respect and listening. That was a shock for his own son, because he's used to being told what to do, because we have never been taught to communicate with other people in a way that breaks the walls down. And then they've now become best friends. Now he's involved with us, and now I'm helping them both communicate to be better human beings.
So you hear a lot in the world today about emotional intelligence. And what, I mean, that is that what you're doing effectively with a different label? Is that emotional intelligence?
Well, no. Emotional intelligence is more assessing and having the judgment to connect with people. This is how to do it, using actual languaging by scenario, the words to use. Because see what happens, a lot of people who have EQ or all this emotional intelligence, they know what they want to say, but they struggle with the words. The words don't come out at the right moment that they want to say, that connects without this creating any tension. And it's the people fly over the world to meet with me just to find the languaging to deal with certain scenarios that they have to deal with every day, because they want to be able to connect and say what they want to say without creating tension
Of course.
And friction. Yeah. And that's really what this is about, is how do you, and I call it trust-based communication.
Yeah.
Is what I call it.
And so, but you've developed this entirely on your own, this process. It's not come from any psychological background or any.
No, it came from that phone, the shock of the phone call, years and years of helping other people get over the psychological barrier that they've been holding on to, playing the numbers game and chasing opportunities and being rejected as a normal part of their life. I told my clients, rejection is not normal. It's like abuse is not normal. No. You have to recognize you're in a pattern that you can't break because you're so used to it as a normal way of the game. Yeah. You have to unlock that game and really find yourself again, because people carry armor around themselves to protect themselves during their day. And that now that armor bounces off communication. Now people have a hard time connecting with other people. So I kind of help take the armor down, let them be authentic again, build that trust.
Because it's not really just, I mean, I know you're using it from a sales perspective, but actually, this is not necessarily a sales process. This is a mediation, negotiation process, really. That's what
it's a connecting
about.
Process that helps two parties get together and help each other out without friction, tension, and rejection.
I mean, it's probably very close to NVC. Have you heard of nonviolent communication?
You know what it is? It's untangling dysfunctional relationships.
Yeah, it is. Well, look, I get to this point where I always ask this question to people, and it can go two ways, this one. So what is either the one question that I didn't ask you that I should have done?
The one question you asked me that I haven't done?
That I haven't asked you. What should I have asked you?
Well, probably, how is it that I became the world's number one authority on trust-based selling?
Oh, well, there you go. How is it you became the world's number authority on trust-based selling? You got your tagline into the question. Well done.
Well, I'll tell you. I'll tell you one thing. There is no government association meeting. There was no peer meeting among my peers. There was no government body that deemed me that title. Mm-hmm. You know who deemed me that title?
Who?
My clients.
Okay.
They started using that amongst themselves when I started helping make breakthroughs, and that just became the label. And you know what? I just have owned it over time. and I encourage my clients, when they make a breakthrough with their people, to own their authority and their positioning, because if you don't step up, no one else will crown you to be that way.
Absolutely. You have to crown yourself.
Yes. And that takes a bit of,
yeah,
exactly. And that takes a bit of confidence and a bit of clarity on your vision.
Absolutely. And it's interesting, the number of people I've spoken to on this podcast, their tagline or label or differentiator was given to them by their clients.
So often, like this pattern comes out.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we miss it a lot too. We're not listening to those patterns, and those patterns are really what it's all about.
Yeah. So look, obviously you've got to, so let's give me the rundown. So if people want to connect with you, how can they, and who should connect with you, and how can they do this?
Well, most likely if you run your own business or you have a sales team or you're an entrepreneur, yep, and you're on the front lines, you're a rainmaker. If you don't bring in sales, you don't feed your family, you don't feed your team. And that, yes, and that's really what it's that serious. And if you're finding yourself in a situation where you hate the idea of having to sell and you're chasing the, what I call ghosts, and the whole experience to you is dysfunctional, then I promise you there's a way out of this thing. So if you want to learn more about it, just go over to www.unlockthegame.com. There's resources there. You can learn, you can reach out to us, have a chat, experience what it's like to talk to us. And you'll see that we treat people with respect from the beginning at hello. And that whole experience is a learning experience for everybody.
Brilliant. Brilliant. And then there's the books. You've got several books, which will all be on the thing. Just give us all the books you do at the moment and the new book coming out.
Yeah, it's Unlock the Sales Game is my classic book. And then the One Call Sale will be hopefully the bestseller coming out soon.
And when's that coming out, do you think?
Probably early next year.
Early next year. Okay, we've got to wait for that one a little bit. Okay, well, maybe we'll get you back on the program again in that case. When that book's coming out. So thank you so much for that. Is there any social links, by the way? Have I got all the social links for you?
You got everything, yeah.
Okay, so what are you on? You're on LinkedIn, because I know you're there. Are you on Twitter and those
Facebook,
sort of places?
Yeah, all there, yeah.
Okay, well then they're all be on the show notes and at lifepersonalbusiness.com, no problem at all. So fantastic. The final question I ask all of my guests is, what is the meaning of life for you?
Well, I won't be surprised when I say that the meaning of life for me is to operate at a level of deep trust with yourself and in your truth, and help other people tell their truth. And that'll create a better connection with us in the world and be a more peaceful place to live in. So I believe trust is a new currency. Mm-hmm. And if you can make that a conscious part of your life every single day, there's plenty of happiness waiting for you at the end of the rainbow there.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I think trust and attention, those are the things at the moment.
Exactly. And focus, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Ari Galpa, thank you so much for taking the time to be here with me today. It's been a bit of a walk down memory lane for me a little bit, but it's been absolutely joyful to talk to you today. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much as well. Pleasure.
All the best.
And that was Life, Passion and Business with Paul Harvey and my guest, Ari Galpa. If you would like to connect with Ari and discover how trust-based selling works, please reach out to him. You'll find him at unlockthegame.com. I don't know about you, but I think Ari Galpa has shared with us some amazing stuff today. And if you can think of anyone that might find this useful, please share it with them, because I think there's a lot of value to be found in his work. You can also find Ari on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and on YouTube. All of those links will be at the website lifepassionandbusiness.com. And while you're there, do check out the resources tab. I have noticed this week there have been some chatter and stuff around this idea of focus, people struggling to find focus in these unusual times. There is a focus product that you can find at the resources tab, lifepassionandbusiness.com. If you would like free access to that product, here is a cheeky request. Write a review in the podcast app of your choosing and send me a screenshot of that review to paul@lifepassionandbusiness.com, and I will send you free access to the Focus product. And that's it for this week. I will be back on Sunday with my Sunday reflection. In the meantime, thanks for listening, and I'll catch you later. All the best.